If you'd like to do a good work, Mr. Gowdy, I guess it'd be all right to say Brother Gowdy. He's not really in the church as we'd like to see him be, but I tell you, he's been praying, calling on the Lord. And he had a stroke a few days ago, and he's home now. He's got hardening of their arteries and all that goes with it, and he's given the family a lot of problems. And some of you men could go by and visit him right over here on 7th Street. 7th Street. If you turn off Ohio on 7th, it's the last house on your left before you have to turn. I don't remember the number. But it would really be a good work if you just go by and visit with him a little while. And he's able to get in the car and ride around. He's very nervous, and he's worrying them to death just about it. And this would be an excellent work. Now, you're talking about doing something for the Lord. If you can help someone when they need help, you're really doing something. And you might encourage him to find God in the fullness before he leaves this world. There was an older gentleman in Dewdrop years ago. We called him Big John. Some of you remember him, the old fat man that worked on lawnmowers out there all the time. He was always dirty, greasy, usually sat under the shade trees without a shirt on, just overalls. But he came from the same neck of the woods that I did. Knew a lot of people that I knew, and I struck up acquaintance. Many times I stopped there and visit with him, John Burchess. His brother, half-brother, Mr. Grimes, works for Dale's now. Many of you know Mr. Grimes, probably. And I used to stop by and visit with Big John, and though we didn't have a lot in common religiously, or even socially, he knew people that I knew, and it was sort of like a visit back home. And then he got sick. Many times he'd knock on my door, sometimes in the night, hurting in his chest, and he'd want me to just drive him around, and I'd put him in the old car that I had and drive him around. Then there came a time that they called me, and I had to preach his funeral. And you know, I guess I spent a few dollars. Maybe $10, maybe $15, driving him around, trying to pacify him. But I don't regret a bit of that. It was kind of tiring at the time. It wasn't really enjoyable. But when you feel like you've helped someone feel better, even let alone finding God, I think you're doing a good work. Let's praise the Lord again, will you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This scripture comes from the 8th chapter of Ezekiel, the 7th verse. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beast and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about them. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, and every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chamber of his imaginary. For they say, The Lord seeth us not, and the Lord has forsaken the earth. I read this again today, and I thought of a sermon I heard by Brother Wicker, Harlan Wicker, over at Prescott. I think this was in Hot Springs Church years ago, in a fellowship meeting. He said, now this goes back in the 50s, maybe 57, 56, somewhere along there, the old Albert Pike Church. Brother Wicker said, I always wondered what that hole in the wall was. And said, just recently I found out. He said, you know, that's nothing short of a TV set. He said, everywhere I go, he said, they're just sitting, looking at a hole in the wall. And then he talked about the abominations on it. He had a pretty good message, really. Of course, that's really not what it was talking about. Had you worried? No, of course not. Some of us can just sit like a hen in the rain. Just preach on, brother. Like Charlie Quigley in Moark years ago. Brother Charlie chewed tobacco. He really chewed it. Maybe dipped a little snuff too, I don't know. And he had marks down the corner of his mouth. I do sometimes, but that's a sore. But in his case, it was snuff or tobacco. Buck Miller, you remember how Buck Miller could preach so hard against chewing tobacco and snuff? Some of you remember Brother Buck Miller. He could say hard things. And one night he just kept getting harder and harder. Old Charlie sat back there, and he sat just as straight. It seemed like the harder Buck Miller preached, the straighter Charlie sat. And he just kept putting the pressure on, putting the pressure on. After a while, he screamed out real loud, "Preach it, you can't hurt me." We don't want to hurt anybody. Maybe we have, but we don't want to hurt anybody. Praise God. Not even if they chew tobacco, we don't want to hurt. We do need an insight of what's going on. But did you know something? If I could see tonight what's in your heart, if I could see what's in your life, I wouldn't take pleasure in revealing it if there's something there that shouldn't be. If I could see inside your life, I don't feel that I would want to run across town and tell somebody that doesn't know about the filth, the dirt, the uncleanliness that might be in somebody's life. I'm not trying to dig it out tonight either. But they were not right. They had abominations. They had idolatry. They even got to the place that they said, the Lord has forsaken us. He's not alive. He's dead. He's not here anymore. He's not doing anything. Have you heard that song before? He doesn't heal. He doesn't bless. He doesn't anoint. There's nothing to it. Did you know the message of being born again is laughed at today? Did you know the Holy Ghost message, they don't hardly know what you're talking about? Like a few years ago when Sister Yeager and someone prayed through, Sister Yeager was a backslider that came back in, the late Sister Yeager, and Brother Jody, I believe, the same day, several years ago now. Sister Avis prayed through that morning. It seemed like it was someone else. We were about 1:30 getting out of church that Sunday morning. We went down to Wonderland down here. Mr. Tershey was expecting several of us. Several of us would eat down there on Sunday. And we walked in, and Mrs. Tershey, the then Mrs. Tershey, said, "Well, we were worried about you. Where have you been?" And my wife, still bubbling over with the joy of the Lord, she said, "Oh, we had a wonderful service, and one or two received the Holy Ghost." And she said, "Holy what?" And that's where this world is today. They don't know what you're talking about. They don't understand the name of Jesus. Some of them will quickly tell you that there's just as much in the name of John or Peter or Marvin or James or Howard or whatever your name may be as there is to the name of Jesus. That's not so. There is a name that's above every name. There is a name whereby devils can be cast out. There is a name whereby sins can be remitted. There is a name whereby the sick can be healed. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the name of Jesus today. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Praise Him. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my, 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 my. But inside our ranks, we all know that we're not quite the successful church that we should be. That's no secret. We do brag on ourselves. And we're thanking God for our accomplishments, and we should thank God for our accomplishments. As far as the monetary side is concerned, I honestly think that that is a well-done job this year for the times and for the conditions and for the... You see, we haven't let up on revivals or anything else that we wanted to do for the Lord. And the Lord has been good to us. But deep down in my heart, that's not what really pleases God. One soul brought out of darkness into the marvelous light is worth more than all the buildings and building funds and everything else. Of course, we may use the building to win these souls. So I'm grateful for that. But the blessing is not the building. It's the soul that finds God. And this we're short on. Now, I don't think we're as guilty as Israel of old at the time of Ezekiel. I just don't think we're quite there. I feel like we have some shortcomings. I feel like that we need preaching to once in a while. And I did say we. I feel that we need... The old-timer said, I come to bless or blister, which you want. They'd say, we come to town to start a revival or a riot, or both. And sometimes they did. But really, I don't think the old-timers were always right. Not in this attitude. Now, I'm not against preaching the Word and preaching it straight. All I want is to do is to prick the heart of someone that they might find God. I do not feel that it's idolatry in the sense of Israel's idolatry that's condemning us today. This beautiful flower raisin here, I guess it's long leaf, probably be called. It's beautiful. And that would be offensive to some people. They would say that this is a form of idolatry in our church, but not so. I've not tried to get to God through that. And I dare say no one here has. And incidentally, I suppose after tonight it would be the same if someone will talk to Sister Joan. But we appreciate that being here. Praise God. I don't think we're plagued with idolatry. Seriously, folks, I doubt if that's really what the Lord looked like. That came from the, of course, Brother Jimmy Rogers painted that. As far as I'm concerned, beautiful painting. But the idea came from about the 5th century, not the 1st century, not the time of our Lord's actual dwelling here. Photographs begin to be, imaginary paintings, rather, begin to be painted about the 5th century after Christ. And at that time, this is what the imagination of the artist back there, and then like the present-day artists, follow suit and the things that we've taught and feel that that might be somewhat like he looked like. But as far as I'm concerned, that's just a painting. And that's all. That has nothing to do with our worship. Has nothing to do with idolatry. I haven't bowed down to that. I haven't tried to reach God through that. Did you know you could idolize your pastor or your Sunday school teacher or your husband or your wife and feel that they're your salvation and try to worship God through them? Now, today, that's not so. You must worship God for yourself. You must touch God for yourself. You must pray to God yourself. You must sing unto the Lord yourself. The connection must be between you and God, between me and God. Glory. Nobody else's worship can satisfy your own soul. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But really, I don't think it's idolatry in the sense of Israel's idolatry, of worshiping images and false gods that gets us in trouble or keeps us from having revivals. There's a word that is similar to idolatry that might just be idleness, just wasting time, just playing around, just being too idle when we ought to be about our Father's business. I suppose that this is more a downfall to us than the trying to reach God through some idol. Just wasting our efforts and wasting our time. You'll notice sometimes we sing a song without meaning, but it feels good. We like the beat more than we like the truth. I could call some songs, but well, we've changed it here. You notice when Brother Bernard leads it after I griped a few years ago about it. He leads the song now. Well, it makes me laugh and it makes me cry. If it's in the song books, people look at the book and then look up, you know, and get to that verse. Sets my sinful soul on fire. I won't sing it like that. I refuse to sing it like that. I don't believe my soul is sinful anymore. Amen. So he changed it or we changed it and it's happy or ransomed or raptured or anything besides sinful. Praise God. I know what kind of fellow wrote that song. Had to be. Amen. Had to be. Well, it makes me laugh and it makes me cry. Sets my happy soul. Don't that sound good? Amen. We've been redeemed. We've been bought. Now, this old message of continuing in sin and hearing the Lord say, well done, that never was. It's always been out of step. That's never been God's plan. If you fail or if I fail, God's plan is walk with me, talk with me, fellowship with me, walk in the light as He is in the light, have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So Ezekiel peeped through the hole in the wall. Actually, there was a door behind this decayed place, I guess, in the vision. And when he dug in, there was a door. And when he went inside in the vision, he saw all the things that were wrong. Now, I'm not going to stress too much about that tonight because I think we could open the door. I don't think we'd find too many tobacco chewers that profess the Holy Ghost. I don't think we'd find too many snuff dippers sitting in this congregation. So look on, preacher, examine this place. I'm talking to the saints now. I'm not talking to someone that might be here that might have some habits. That worries me very little. You hear me visiting friends? If you smoke or chew or dip, I'm not too worried about that. I know just one glimpse of Jesus Christ will change your taste and your desire. And these things will just take care of themselves if I can just show you how beautiful and how wonderful and how glorious and how good He is. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, when somebody that I esteem highly comes to our house, or just about anybody comes to our house, sometimes I'm not too presentable like some of you sometimes are not. But you know, it doesn't take me long to realize I'm not presentable. Maybe I've gotten up and haven't shaved all day, and my hair hasn't been combed, and I'm pitiful looking. You ought to see me. At my worst. You usually see me at my best, and that's miserable. But when you see me, and Sister Rutledge, please tell this. But when someone knocks our door, you talk about a hairdo. I can fix one real quick. Put my shirt tail in, get my shoes on, and halfway present myself presentable. Because someone's at the door. Just the knowledge of someone being there. Now, if it's a stranger and he's got a suit on and a tie on and he really looks like somebody in this world, my, I'm embarrassed and I try to look my best. And when he comes in, the first thing you know, I begin to apologize for my appearance if it's not what I feel it ought to be. It's the same way with the presence of the Holy Ghost. When it really gets in our midst. I don't think he's here tonight, so I can say. The other day, there was a fellow singing in the choir on a Sunday morning. Now, some of our fellows would backslide over this, too. I looked up here, and here stood this fellow, and I'll not describe him in full. You all know who I'm talking about. That didn't worry me, really. It tickled me, and I said to whoever's sitting by me, I said, Looks like one got in without the wedding garment on. That don't offend me. That's no holier up there than it is down there. This is not sacred. That's just something we've hatched up. This desk is not a sacred desk. This microphone is not a sacred microphone. We're using it for sacred purposes, but that's not what we're worshiping God with. You can throw this thing out in the street, we still have God and His truth. I said, that boy can't do no damage to that choir up there like that choir can do to him. They can tear his playhouse down. They can change his thinking. They can change his way of life. It'll rub off. I dare say someone can't sing in a real spiritual Holy Ghost choir for 2 months without it. They're going to get in or they're going to get out, and nobody has to tell them. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, love Him, love Him, love Him, love Him. But you know, I'd like to open the door on another group of people. You know, we're too isolated sometimes. And you almost have to peep through the wall to even find God's people. We're just completely hidden away. Bob Gilstrap preached on the hidden ones. Too many times that's us. It's embarrassing when someone comes to town and has a hard time finding our church. That hasn't happened too many times, but it does happen occasionally. Every last one of you ought to be pretty well known, if not because you work at the paper mill or at the arsenal or at the school system or wherever you work. They ought to know you because you're Pentecostal. They ought to know you because you pray. They ought to know you because you do not do some of the things of this world. Praise the Lord. You don't have to be a smart aleck about it, but you can let your light shine. So let's look inside. Let's find a place maybe that we can just... Have you ever peeped through a wall? Oh, I used to enjoy going to the little country church when I was a kid. They painted the windows where the kids couldn't see out. And I was on the outside peeping in. That's shameful to even tell you kids I did that. But sometimes we did. We were outside playing. Some of them gals inside would scrape off a little place inside of that paint where we could stand on the outside, put our eye right up against that glass and peep on the inside. One night we was doing that and they're singing inside. I'd rather be on the inside looking out as to be on the outside looking in. And then one night old Woodrow Strum, that's Johnny May's fella, Woodrow Strum was peeping through the window like that, had his eye right up against the window pane. Somebody hit his head from the back, and the next thing, old Woodrow's head came right in. Glass jagged all around him. He had to pull it back, you see. I'd like to peep in on a Pentecostal service and see what would keep us from having the Holy Ghost move. What is it that would keep us from having shouting like we like to have? Every one of you here tonight that know the blessing, you'd like to be in a service where everybody just feels like dancing for the glory of the Lord. You'd like to be in a service where everybody just weeps and cries and praising God. Well, what in the world is keeping us from it? We have the message, we have the God, we have the truth, we have one another. We have a good enough building to worship God in. Praise God. None of us are hungry physically, I don't suppose. Most of us have our bills pretty well taken care of. Very few of us have had our homes, our automobiles repossessed lately. You see, God's been good to us. Now, what's keeping us from feeling what God would have us feel and what we want to feel? What's keeping us from having the victory? I wish I could really peep through and see tonight. I doubt if I can really find out. But I believe a spirit of lethargy, a sleepy time has come upon us. And this thing has become so common to us, though we do not evaluate it as we ought to. We see someone shouting and rejoicing. Well, I can remember as a child in a service when the people were shouting and rejoicing, not only the saints stood at attention, but I remember the outsiders standing and forcing their way up, even near an altar service, standing right around the altar, listening and watching. And that wasn't in this area, but I suppose it happened in this area too, wanting to know, hallelujah, what's going on around the altar? Well, I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost here and saints talking and laughing in the back of the church while someone's receiving the Holy Ghost. Do you think that God is really pleased with that? Could that be one of the things that we're seeing as we peek through the wall tonight? I'm not trying to say that there's not a certain amount of visitation. I know there's a certain amount. But I feel that we lack the concern that we ought to have. We lack the dedication that we ought to have. Maybe you're not always able to work with them in the altar. Maybe you're not always able to stay there with them. But I do believe you ought to rejoice when you see them or hear them coming through to victory in God. I don't believe that anything is as important as a soul being born into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord! I remember one night in the 30s when I was just a little boy, when babies were born at home, very few mothers went to the hospital in those days to have their babies delivered. My cousin, whose name is Betty, strange thing, back in the 30s, they named her Betty Gay. You wouldn't dare name a girl Gay now, would you, boy, either one? It didn't mean what it means in those days to use that word, as it does now. But that night that Betty Gay was born, that's like Brother Kilgore's sermon on, would you name your daughter Jezebel? I did run into a fellow the other day whose name was Esau. And I thought, now some stupid mother didn't know what this told me. They didn't want to name him a Bible name, so they chose Esau. If Sister Rogers and I have 15 more children, we're not going to name any of them Esau. I think I'm safe anyhow, don't you? But praise the Lord. Love God, folks. Love God. I'm talking to you tonight from my heart. I feel that we need something. We need God to move. We need God's help. I lost my thought. I don't know what I was going to tell you. But it's the truth anyhow. Take my word for it. I'll get back to that later. Oh, Betty Gay was born. And it was a farmhouse. My dad and mother was there. Mother was helping with whatever you do at a time like that. My aunts were there. The children, several children, my cousins. Of course, my dad and the other fellows taking us out to the barn. And we jumped the rope and the men pitched horseshoes. And there was a lot of activity going on. While inside that house, there was a birth going on. Now, I was just a little, that was in 33. I was 7 years old, 8 years old maybe. And every once in a while I can remember how my uncle, the father of the baby-to-be, would run up to the house and he would crack the door and he'd talk to somebody on the inside. I know now he was wanting to know what's going on inside. You know, how's the progress going? And he'd come back and he'd whisper around to my dad and the rest of them and we'd jump the rope some more and pitch horseshoes some more. And there's a lot of whispering going on that I didn't understand. I really wonder this day exactly what all was going on around there, you know. But finally he came back and he was walking faster and everything was good news. And he said, it's a girl. And to my surprise, I had another cousin. I didn't know anything like that was going on, see. It's a girl. And the whole thing changed. And it wasn't long until we was in the house and we were looking upon a beautiful baby girl, and everybody was happy, and everybody was laughing. Well, that's natural. Oh, but there's thousands of souls out there that need to be born into the kingdom of God. And I'm cracking the door tonight, and I'm saying, what's going on? Where are we? Where are the souls around the altar? Where's the souls that's seeking God? I want to go back and tell the rest of you that's jumping the rope and pitching horseshoes. I want to tell you that are playing. I want to tell you that are half concerned. There's some labor going on out there somewhere. Somebody's suffering. Somebody's praying. Somebody's struggling. Praise God. There's some birth that needs to take place. And I'd like to report. Oh, I'd like to report. I was in the revival with Bob Miller three different times this year. where just recently it was, while I was there, the 220th one was baptized in Jesus' name in the last 18 months. And that's a revival. A small church of 60 or so when he took it, to jump over the 200 mark in attendance and to have 220 baptized and almost that number filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said about 80% of them staying there praising and glorifying and worshiping God. Looked like all of them had stayed, but I guess that's a good number in these times, the way churches operate. About 80 out of 100, that means about 165 or 70 of that 220 that's still going on for the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I sat down with my old brother Turner, one of the elders in the church, and he said when Brother Miller came here, he said, we didn't exactly like the way he was doing things, that he just took over. And we kind of fought him a little bit. We had a little problem. And he said, we thought he was just a young preacher that didn't know what he was talking about and doing. But he said, I'm convinced this thing's of God. He said, take a look down there at old Terry. You remember Terry? The one-eyed boy that come and visited Brother Miller with the frazzled-out hair. And, oh, he's a horrible. They said he was the bully of the town. Terry Caldwell's his name. And they said he's the bully of the town. Well, right after the revival a year ago that I was there in, old Terry came to church. Brother Miller baptized him in Jesus' name and received the Holy Ghost. The other night I looked down there. He sat on the front seat, well-groomed, nice suit of clothes on. His hair was cut right and not frizzled out anymore. And I looked down at him. I said, Terry, if it wasn't for that bad eye and no reflection, he's got one eye and one of his eyes is clouded. But that's the only thing that made me recognize you. Everything else is different. And especially that hand clap. And especially that praise the Lord. And especially that dance. Say, why can't we have it? Why can't we have it? What do we need? I'll tell you what, we need a double dose of enthusiasm. A double dose of excitement. An old-fashioned thrill. Get happy about the Word. Get happy about the singing. Get happy about the choir. Praise God. They put their all into it. Get happy about it. Make yourself get happy. Shake yourself. Have you ever slapped yourself when you were driving? Have you ever driven all night and you got sleepy and you just popped yourself a good one? I have, because I didn't want him to go to sleep. Driving a car is dangerous, 60 miles an hour down the highway, and see a car coming, and you just strain to keep your eyes open, afraid to bat them, afraid you're going to go to sleep. If you ever shut them, you won't get them open again. And don't tell how many you meet like that, too, out there. And I've been there myself. And just as that car passes, to get just a little rest, you just kind of close your eyes. And then you run off the road, and then you really wake up because you feel yourself. Oh, that's terrible. And then you just draw back and slap yourself. Boy, I've hit him a good one a few times. And I wake up. It lasts about 3 miles. And you go to sleep again. I pull over on the side of the road. I've turkey trotted around the car. Just run and try to wake up. That's awful. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, we may have to almost slap ourselves. Their souls are safe. I'm peeping into our midst. We're not short on cooperation. Most of our people support the church. There was a time that we had to spend a third of our ministry preaching on tithing. We hardly ever mention that around here. Praise God. People just do that. That's wonderful. Say praise the Lord. Well, there was a time that we spent a big part of our ministry, as I told you, preaching about tobacco. I've said more about it tonight than I've said all year. We hardly ever say anything about tobacco. We don't have to. People come into the church, they just leave that behind. We don't have to preach about beer to our people. Why, it's been 5 or 6 months since most of you had a drink of beer. Amen. No, we don't have to waste our time about that. When we do speak about it, we speak with concern because some of those have been captured in times past with the powers of this world. Oh, but what I'm seeing tonight as I crack the door and look inside the Pentecostal church, I see satisfaction where we ought not to really be fully satisfied. I see contentment where we ought to be stirred. I see a spirit of ease and woe to them in Zion that set at ease in Zion. It's dangerous to get too comfortable. It's dangerous to get too at ease. We must pray. We must seek the face of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So as I peep through this cracked door tonight, the closing of the old year, it's not long until the new year will be here if the Lord tarries. And I hope and pray that during this year we'll begin it. If not tonight, very soon that we'll begin it with a new baptism of enthusiasm. Get the excitement that we need to make this church shine out. I'm not saying we don't have the Holy Ghost. I believe you did receive the Holy Ghost. I talked to a young man who's not acquainted with our church some time ago. And he had supposedly got the Holy Ghost and lost it all in a week's time. I said, that's not the doctrine around here. I just don't teach that. In fact, I just don't believe that. I do believe that many people fail God. But say, if you got the Holy Ghost and you see Him, or you fail God, or you do something you ought not to do, you know what that Holy Ghost ought to do? Sound off an alarm. Bring you under conviction. Drive you to your knees. Praise God. I hope that Sister Barbara Daniels, used to be Daniels, Smith now, if she hears that I tell this, I hope that she will take it in the spirit that I'm telling it in and not with any reflection on her at all. She's a fine lady and attends the Hardin Church. But when she was just a little girl, about 15, maybe 16, in the Dewdrop Church, like a lot of girls, maybe sometime or another, are tempted, especially if they've grown up in the church and never had this experience, maybe tempted to use the scissors a little bit on their hair. Anyway, Barbara did. One night before church, she called. And she said, just crying. I could hardly understand what she was saying. And she said, Brother Rudge, I've done a terrible thing. Well, Barbara, what have you done? Oh, it's terrible. And it was so terrible, she had my imagination just running way out there. Well, it is bad. Any violation of God's law is bad. But it's no time to quit. I told you this morning, you'll never be a place in your life, in this world, for what God is right there that can be touched with absolute repentance. Hallelujah. Anyway, Barbara, what have you done? Finally, she said, well, I've cut my hair off. And she did a good job. She took the scissors and she just whacked it off way up here. Beautiful, long, red hair. And she said, now what am I going to do? And I said, well, come on to church. This is way back in 56, 57, somewhere along there, 58. Oh, but I'm embarrassed. What am I going to do? And I said, well, embarrassed? Isn't that what you wanted? Beautiful short hair? Well, that's what I thought I wanted. But now I'm so mad at myself, and I'm so embarrassed. I don't want the saints to see me. I don't want the church to see me. And I said, well, if you stay at home, that's not going to be the answer. Barbara, you come on to church. You should have seen her that night. She came to church with a towel around. She looked like a Turk. Had a turban around her head. All tied up, sat two-thirds of the way back in the church, and sat there like an old Grandmother Hubbard. Just a cried. The devil had really put one over. Now he'd like to kill her. He's got her down. Now he'd like to stomp her. And the devil would like for the pastor to just say, now you're solace for 6 months or a year or for a year and a half. We're not in the penitentiary business. Praise God. We're in the gospel business. Amen. I'm not giving you no shortcuts to cut your hair. You'll suffer if you do it. I don't have to hurt you. I don't have to hurt you. You fellows start doing anything wrong, I don't have to get up here and crucify you before the people. You suffer for your wrongdoing. I suffer for my wrongdoing. But she poured her heart out to God that night, and I doubt if she's even got close to scissors without thinking about that time that she failed God back there. I went back the next night. He asked for those who want to be prayed for. Here she comes. Same silly smile. Looked like just daring. I see a powerless church. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. I read it to you. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Where's the power of Pentecost? I'll tell you where it is. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever. If we learn who God is, what God is, how to obey Him, then we are a church of power. Praise God. But all the power we've seen is a power to get from quit cussing, a power to quit smoking, a power to quit drugs. All that just comes with repentance and remission of sin. That's being set free. Praise God. But if we will believe all that the Scripture has said, we should be a church of power to pray for the sick. And the last sign he said, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and all of this is to be done in my name, and they shall recover. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's love God. Shall we love God? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's praise God. If you didn't get anything else, if you didn't get anything else out of this tonight, when someone says, Matthew says, in the Great Commission, be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Say, yeah. And when Luke told the commission, he said, in his name. And somebody says, well, Matthew says be baptized, but it does not say anything about being saved. Yeah, but when Mark tells the story, he says, shall be saved. Hallelujah. You say, but signs and wonders are ceased, but you say, but Matthew said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And when Mark told the story, he said, in my name shall they cast out devils. Speaking, how long? Matthew told us, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world.
Oh, hallelujah.
This is his last message. When he said this, he started up, and a cloud received him from the side. Praise God. And an angel said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? The same Jesus that you see go away is so coming again in like manner. Sing it again, the voice of God. Together and pray, but I'd like to ask you, and don't fib to me, do you enjoy Bible teaching on Wednesday night?
Amen.
And if you do, bring your Bibles next Wednesday night, and I think we're going to do it like this. I think we're going to run a little ad in the paper, and next Wednesday night, if I feel like I do now, but about the weekend, I'd like to run an ad in the paper. And I'd like to word it in such a way to attract the attention of so-called charismatics. I just believe in calling speaking in tongues. And I'd like to do some teaching next Wednesday night along the line of tongues. How is it? What is it? Who's it for? How's it take place? Do you understand what you're saying? Who understands? Is it an unknown tongue? Or is it a tongue of an angel? Is it a tongue of a man? Is it other languages? And let's get into the Word of God next Wednesday night. Tell your neighbors, we have a golden opportunity. A lot of people are wondering about these things. Most of you know. You may not know all the details of it, but most of you know. But there's a lot of folks that your neighbors and friends and loved ones that do not know. Praise God. Let's gather up front and stand and ask God's blessings and all pray together. Come right on. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Hankins, will you dismiss us tonight?
Dear Lord Jesus, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you, Lord, for this teaching tonight. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for men that you have set among us, oh, God.
Hallelujah.
That can teach us and enlighten us into your truth. Oh, God, bless each and every one here tonight. Help us, Lord, to evermore to grasp this teaching tonight, Lord, and let it sink deep into our hearts, Lord, and not discard it out of our mind. Oh, God, and we ask it all in your precious and holy name.
Thank you. Thank God. God richly bless you.